Revelation, we started in Revelation chapter number 1, and we're all the way down to chapter number 17 and 18. And as you study, Brother Bradley, like I said, he's gave me a whole Wednesday nights, a month off, so I could just study and get my voice lined back up. But what I'm trying to say is if you study the book of Revelation, you're going to see where 16, we've done come through 15 and 16 at a time past, and we looked at the vials that was that's going to be poured out. But now we come to 17 and 18. You can do your own study on this. You can do your own study when you get home, read more. I'm just going to give this as an overview of chapter 17 and chapter 18. I'm just going to give you something just to chew on for a little bit. If I went through the whole chapter 17 and I went through the whole chapter 18, we'd be here for a long, long time. Yeah, so if you want to do your own study when you get home, man, I'll tell you, it'll bless you in a mighty way. The title of the sermon tonight is Thee or That Great Whore. And tonight you say, whore, boy, that you use that from the pulpit. Kaylee seen it last Wednesday night coming to church, and my paper slid out, and she said, Daddy, well, is that your sermon tonight? I said, yeah. She said, well, you better explain it very good. And I said, well, it's biblical. She said, are you sure that word is being used in that? I said, baby, it's in that text. And you know what? In Christianity as we know it right now, there's a lot of people that are whoring around on God. Hello? There's a lot of people whoring around on God. They say they love the Lord. They say they're part of the body of Christ. They say they're part of that. They say that one day He's going to come get. They say all that, but when you go looking for them and you try to find them, they're nowhere to be found. They're out doing the things of the world, lined up with the world, not lined up with the church, not lined up with the Bible, not lined up with Christ, not lined up. And that would be nothing more than whoring around on God. And I want you to know tonight that He's not pleased with it. Amen? Tonight I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. We'll read tonight Revelation chapter number 17, 1 through 5. And the Bible says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Our Father and our God, as we bow in Your presence tonight, Father, we do love You and we do thank You that You've allowed us to come out tonight and worship You, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, I thank You tonight for the book of Revelation. I know tonight has born again people tonight, Lord God, that we're not going to go through this time in our life. We're going to be raptured out. We're going to be taken out. But Father, we must study this word to give us an unction, to give us a burden that we may win people to You so they don't have to go through this one day in their life. Father, I believe Your return is very soon. I believe it's around the corner. I believe it's coming quick. And Lord, I pray right now if they be one lost that You would save them. Lord, I pray for my family, the ones that are lost and are going to a devil's hell. Lord, I pray that You would save them, that You would snatch them out, Father, before it's eternally too late, Father. Lord, I thank You for this night. I thank You for all the prayer requests that was mentioned all around the room. I pray for the ones that's lifted up, Father. I would not call a name because I may skip one tonight, but Father, in the throne room of heaven, it's all let out tonight. Lord, You know exactly who it is, and You know exactly what they need tonight. And Lord, I pray You touch them in a mighty way. Father, I thank You for a congregation on a Wednesday night that has not chose to close the church, but Father, we're alive and well because You're on the throne high and lifted up, Lord God, tonight. I thank You for the sweet Holy Ghost that's in this place tonight. I pray that You just saturate Yourself in this place tonight, all over every one of Your believers tonight. Lord, for that one that come in dry, I pray, hey, leave out wet tonight. That one that come in hungry, I pray they get a bite of the bread of life tonight. Father, I pray that Your will be done. Lord, I pray You everything that is said tonight be all about you and not one thing about me. Father, I love you and I thank you. I ask you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything that comes out of my mouth tonight be all about you. Father, I love you. I thank you. Thank you for saving my soul. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Revelation chapter number 17 and 18 will go together. And I want to show you this tonight as we walk through these two chapters tonight. Tonight we're talking about this great whore of Babylonian here tonight. And that Babylonian whore, she'll have great power and control over the people of this world. She'll have great power and great control over this world. She will do all she can to gain more and more. And she'll use her money and her control. And Babylon is the mother of all false religion. All false religion that'll go on, she'll be the mother of that. And people will be drawn to her. People will be drawn to her. She'll have flattering words. She'll look beautiful. She'll be in a way that she'll draw people. You know, you know tonight, even though Satan does that himself tonight, he'll take something that's bad and make it look good. And tonight I want you to know, as we look into the text, that great whore tonight and how she is tonight. If you look at me, with me in verse number 4, we see the way that she is arrayed tonight. The King James Bible said, and the woman was arrayed. You say, preacher, what does that mean that she was arrayed tonight? Tonight she would be somebody that would be beautiful to look on. You'd be lusting to look on her. You'd want to look on her. But the Bible arrayed means to be put on or all around. She'll have a strong draw on people at that time. You say, how strong will that draw be? I'll be able to resist it. Friends, can I say to you, if you don't get on that first flight out when Jesus comes back and He raptures His church, you're going to fall victim to this in your life. You say, preacher, I'll be able to withstand it. I'll be able to go on through it. No, you won't tonight. If you sit under the preaching of the gospel, the book of Thessalonians tell us that God Himself will turn you over to a mind. You'll believe delusions. You'll believe a lie. And tonight I want you to know how she is arrayed. Look with me in verse number 4. She is arrayed this way with purple and scarlet, which is crimson red. She's going to be decked out, if you will, in this purple cloth. And she's going to have this scarlet about her. She's going to have gold and precious stones and pearls. You say, preacher, what does that mean? She's going to be arrayed like never before. She's going to look good. Hey, can I say to you tonight that Satan paints it up to make it look good? But not only is she arrayed with the purple and the scarlet, that is the crimson red, not only is she going to have gold and precious stones and pearls in verse number 4, but also she's going to have a golden cup in her hand. She's going to have everything that you need in her hand. But she's not going to have what you need, but she's going to have what you think you need in her hand. You say, what does that mean that she's going to have that golden cup that is in her hand? It's going to be full of abomination and fornication. It's going to be things that's going to be rotten at the core, but it's going to look good on the outside. Have you ever seen that in your life? Hey, you look at the outside and everything looks like they got it going on, but deep down in the core, it's rotten. Friends, back in my life, there was a time if you looked on the outside, you'd say, that old boy's got it all together. Everything looks like it's all together, but deep down, it was rotten to the core. When this false religion comes and this great whore shows herself, I want you to know that she's going to be rotten to the core. And get this tonight. She is a harlot. She's going to be going after or drawing folks, and especially the Jewish people, because they are regarded as the spouse of Jehovah. They're regarded as the spouse of Jehovah, and that's who that great whore is going to go after and try to draw. She's full of abomination, full of fornication. You say, what is this abomination? What is this fornication tonight? That abomination is specifically idolatry, that people are going to fall for it. They're going to idolize this when this comes on the scene. But not only is it full of idolatry, but it's full of fornication. They will indulge or really lust after it. They will indulge in it. Have you ever seen somebody and they get messing with sin and they get playing with sin just a little bit? It ain't long, they're full blown into sin. You give somebody that plays with it a little bit and they say, I can handle it. I've not got burnt. I'm not going to be hurt. And the next thing you know, they done went off the deep end. They done went too far. I know people in my life that I've talked to, they said, Well, it won't get me. Can I say to you tonight, sin kills, amen? It doesn't matter tonight if it's a little sin or a lot of sin. When sin comes into a person's life, there's going to be a cost. I see that she is arrayed the way this great whore, she's going to be arrayed. She's going to be beautiful to look upon, and she's going to be exactly what old Satan is going to put out there. But let me give you number two tonight. Not only is she the way she is arrayed, but the way that she's going to approach. Now, she's arrayed one way. She's going to look one way, but she's going to approach him a different way. You know what tonight Satan does? Before he ever approaches you, he paints the picture. Can I get amen? He paints it looking good. He paints it looking beautiful. He paints it as nothing's wrong. Hey, it ain't nothing wrong with doing that. If you don't believe me, look at your phone. It won't be long. You'll be looking at something on your phone, and it is so innocent and so harmless, but the next token or the next instance you look at your phone, and it'll be something on there that you don't need to see. You know what old Satan does? He paints it up, and he makes it look pretty before he ever approaches you. He's not going to approach you with something that you won't fall for. Come on, listen to me tonight. He paints it up to make it look good. He paints it up to make it look good. And then he'll bring it and approach you with it. Look with me tonight, if you will, in verse number 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and abominations of the earth. The way she approaches it, she's going to call herself a great. She says on her forehead, it's going to say that she is great. They're going to call it great. They're going to call her the mother of all harlots and abominations. You say, preacher, if she's going to be called great and she's going to be called the mother of all these, what do you think? I think she'll know exactly what to do when she shows up. She'll know how to approach the people, and she will know how to do this, how to get them to fall for her. She'll be called great, and she'll be called the mother of all harlots and abominations, and that she'll be drunken with the blood of the saints. You say, what saints is them? That's the ones that's going to be murdered for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that's took the martyr. They've not followed Satan, but they stood the test of time, and they stood in what God has called them to do. Friends, can I say to you tonight, we must stand as a church. We must stand on the word. We must stand on what God has called us to do, because we have an enemy out there, and he's looking to devour us tonight. I see not only is it called the great, she'll be the way she approaches, she's called great. She's called the mother of all harlots and abominations, and she's drunken with the bloods of the saints. But if you'll remember this tonight, Babylon or Babel was founded by Nimrod, who built a city and tower reaching to the heavens for all to see. Do y'all remember that story in the Bible when you go to Genesis chapter number 11 and they started building this tower? And you, I don't know if you watch TV or not, but if you watch it any length of time, you're going to see ABC Mouse on there. Amen. Come on now. ABC Mouse, they want you to teach your kids, and they want you to teach them, and they get smarter. And when they go to kindergarten, they're on a third grade level, and they know more than their teachers know. And they can be all this, and they can be all that, and they can excel, and skies can be the limit, and they can be anything they want to be. All they got to do is dream. They don't even have to look to God. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then in the next statement, it'll have another commercial, and it'll say, if you want to learn another language, all you have to do is download this app called War we living in. What God tore down, what is man trying to make better? Languages. They're trying to get us all on the same page. Why did they take that word Bible? Because they understand that the language was confused there to stop that tower from being built. Friends, tonight, can I say to you, they can't be but one person on the throne, and that is God. Amen? It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, who the president of the United States are. They are not on the throne. God's on the throne. Amen? Whoa, glory. Let me give you this tonight. It says this, drunken with the bloods of the saints. Babylon or Babel was founded by Nimrod, who built a city and tower reaching to the heavens for all to see. Babel means the gate of God. The gate of God is what Babel means. But by divine judgment in Genesis chapter number 11, the name Babel was changed to confusion. Why did that happen? Because they was trying to reach where God was. God said, we've got to do something. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 11. God himself said, we have to do something about this. Friends, can I say to you that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he's going to have all the answers. He's going to have it lined down just like he thinks it should be. And if you'll look with me tonight in Genesis chapter number 11, and if you'll look with me in verse number 5, it says, "And the Lord," Genesis 11:5, "and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained for them which they have imagined to do. He said, go to, let us go down." You're talking about the Trinity. He said, let us go down. Amen. He said, let us go down, and they're confound. What is he going to do? He's going to confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Why did he do that? When he's trying to get bigger than God, you know what he done? He reached down and made all things right. Can I say to you tonight, don't try to get to a place above God. Don't try to get there tonight. I see the way she's arrayed. I see the way that this great whore is going to approach the people. But let me show you this tonight as we move on. I see the abundance of her sin. She's going to look good. She's going to look good. And she's going to approach real well. She's going to approach real well. She's not going to have a spot. She's not going to have a blemish. She's going to be salt after. Okay? Amen? But listen to me tonight. Let me get right here with you now. Let me get you right here. She's going to look good. She's going to approach good. But then you see the abundance of her sin. You be careful tonight. When you get to a place in your life, when you see something, you say, man, that looks good. Man, that looks good. You be aware tonight. Married man, listen to me in the house tonight. If you've got a wife, it never, never come out of your mouth that another woman looks good. Don't you give that foothold to Satan. Don't you give that foothold. Married woman tonight, can I get amen? Don't you ever look at another man and say, boy, he sure looks good. Don't you give that foothold to Satan tonight. Don't you give that tonight. She's going to look good. She's going to approach good. But she's going to be full of abomination and full of sin. Brother Mason's dating this young lady on front, Miss Egger here. Right, Brother Mason? Now, when y'all get in y'all's car tonight, and you okay with me using this illustration? Okay, are you good with that? Okay. Yeah, I don't. You probably ain't, but he is. You get, how old are you, Brother Mason? 19. They about to be these days. About to be 20. You're 19. Don't speed it up, son. Don't. Before you know it, you'll be 44. Who in here wish they wouldn't have sped it up? Amen? So here you go. Hey, 20-year-old, fixing to be 20. Tonight, when y'all get out of church, you turn the corner of that building out there to go get in the car. You don't want to see her standing with some other boy out there hugged up on him, correct? Why? You just don't. You're the one dating her. She's yours right now, right? Amen? So that's what I'm talking about tonight. A married couple in here tonight, dating in here tonight, whatever you're doing tonight, you be singular in what you do, you and that one person tonight. Here's what it said. He said, listen to me. They're going to look good, and they're going to approach you right, but they're full of sin tonight. Listen to me tonight. I believe that when it comes on the scene, it's going to lure a lot of people away, and tonight that idolatry and that sexual nature that it has led a lot of men in the wrong area, led them down the wrong road. You look on the TV tonight, and you see preachers that has failed to the same thing that is not of God. They stand in the pulpit week in and week out, come out and they come out and they come out, and it's not right what they're doing. And you say, preacher, why? Because it has approached them. It looked good, but at the end of the day, it was full of sin. Tonight, sin is sin. Take a little here, be a whole bunch at the end. It does not subtract. Sin doesn't subtract. It adds and it multiplies. Sin adds and it multiplies. So tonight, I just want to give that to you. If you're a married man in here tonight, keep your eyes to your wife. If you're a married woman in here tonight, keep your eyes to your husband. Don't look nowhere else. Let me move on tonight. Let me move on tonight. I see the abundance of her sin. Chapter number 18, verse 5 through 7. Let me show you the abundance of her sin. The abundance of this great whore tonight and her sin. I want you to look tonight in verse number 5 at the reach of her sin. How far this sin does reach. It reaches all the way to heaven. This sin reaches all the way to heaven. It says, for her sins have reached unto heaven. All the way to heaven. They've been piling up. These sins have been piling up. The tower of Babel was stopped by confusion, and her sin will be stopped by burning her down. God's judgment will come one day when folks think they're getting away with sin, but they ain't. That sin, that abundance of the sin, reached all the way to heaven. Let me show you this, the remembrance of her sin. Verse number 5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Not only does that sin reach to heaven, but there's a remembrance of the sin of this great whore. You say, what was the sin that she had, preacher? Number one, if you keep reading in there in verse number 6, it rewarded her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to the works and the cup which she had filled to her double. 7, how much she had glorified herself. Number one, sin that she had there is she had pride. She thought, I can get who I want. She had pride. She boasted of herself. Isaiah 42:8, the Bible says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Proverbs 6:16 says, the 6 things that the Lord hate, he said he hates them. Not that he dislikes them, but he hates them. I'm talking about with a hatred tonight. These 6 things do the Lord hate, yes, 7 are an abomination unto him. You listen to this tonight. You say, preacher, are you serious tonight? This is the Bible. This is something that the Lord hates. He hates a proud look. You say, what is a proud look? When you look down your long nose at somebody and you put yourself higher than them. Folks, tonight we'll never win a lost and dying generation when we're looking down our nose at them. He said that he hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. You say, well, it's just a white lie. A white lie is a big lie. A white lie is a lie. Who put it as a white lie? You and I. God didn't. A lie is a lie. He said he hates these things. You know why our church is in a trouble? Most people, when they get saved, they know they were lost. You give them 3 or 4 years and they think they've got it all. A pride look. Proudful look. Don't be proud in what you do. These 6 things the Lord hates: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. He hates that. You say, what's that? If you want a church to be split, wide open, to start sowing discord among one another. Start not getting along. Let this side be against that side. You say, what will do that, preacher? The way we approach folks. The way we appear to folks. Before you ever talk to somebody, they already judged you as nice, mean, kind, right? And then when you approach them, you're either going to give them confirmation that you're either nice or you're mean. But as soon as you open your mouth at that moment, how are you going to be? This one we're talking about tonight, the great Babylon, this great whore, she's going to look good. She's going to approach good, but she ain't going to leave you in a good place. Tonight, can I say to you, Satan will never leave you in a good place. Let me move on here. I see her pride. I see her self-pleasure. Look what she said. And liveth deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she had said in her heart, I said a queen. I see her pride, but then I see her self-pleasure, how she thinks she's delicious, that everybody, come on now, talk to me, somebody. I tell my daughter all the time, I told her this all the way through high school, the girl that all the boys want now will be the girl that no boy will want years down the road. The girl that all the boys want right now, and all the boys are loving, and they're all over, there'll come a day they won't, nobody want that girl. Protect yourself. Protect yourself. She said, preacher, that's kind of, they know more than you and I know. Trust me, your kids know more than you and I know. I promise you that. And every generation's getting more educated and educated in the way they shouldn't go than in the way that they should go. So I tell her that all the time, and I say this all the time. I want her to know all about the streets, Brother Roy, but I don't want her to be on them. I want her to know all about the streets, and I want her to know all about the Bible, everything that I can teach her of how wrong things is, but I don't want her out there in it. I want her to be protected. I don't want her to be a great whore. I'm just leaving it right there. That's my daughter. I can say that. I want her to be somebody that's grounded in Christ Jesus. I want her to be somebody that says, I love the Lord. I want her to be somebody that says, hey, no, my best friend is Jesus. I see the pride. I see the self-pleasure. And I see her position. She thinks she's a queen. That's what it says. And she says, I said a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. That's what she says. She said, I'm a queen. I got it all. But the Bible calls her, and if you got a paper that I passed out tonight, she thinks she's a queen, but the Bible calls her a whore. I see the reach of her sin. I see the remembrance of her sin. But in verse number 8, I see the result of her sin. And all this tonight is right before you get to 19, 20, 21, 22. Man, it's going to be heyday. We're going to love them chapters. But you're right here in the result of the sin of following her. That seventh vial has been poured out. Look in verse number 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. When the Lord said that's enough and cuts her off, it's coming in one day. One day. Look what the Bible says. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. The result of her sin, her judgment will be swift. So how swift will it be, preacher? It'll be in one day. God sends death, mourning, famine, and fire in one day. He destroys it in one day. Just as Babylon will be judged by fire, those who reject Jesus Christ, listen to me now, will burn in hell forever. You say, how long suffering is he? Is he? Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter. This just come to my mind. I just want to share it with you. You say, well preacher, I want to talk to you. You say, preacher, I see the apparel and how beautiful it looks. And I see the... Has anybody ever bought something or got tied up into something that looked good and after you got it home, you wished you hadn't had it? I'm talking about material stuff probably. Boy, they sold you on it. Amen? I mean, they had you hook, line, and sinker. And your wife in the background, just I'm talking about wearing you out and say, don't you fall for that. And you're like, they ain't getting me. We was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I was walking down through there. I was having the time of my life, Sister Brittany. Katie, a little bee thing. Brain said, listen, all these people on the corner that want you to come in and listen to the demonstration, we're not buying no time chair. We ain't got enough money to get back home on. You ain't getting in them rooms. I'm walking down through there, and he said, hey, sir, come here. She said, don't go over. I said, I got this. I walked over there, and I said, hey, man, what's up? He said, would you like $125? I said, how can I get it? 30 minutes. All you got to do, 30 minutes. I said, your sign says 2 hours. Sir, don't pay no attention to that sign. Give me 30 minutes. I said, man, I'll give you 30 minutes. You can't do it right here. You got to get up in the morning and come over here. I'm going to give you a free breakfast. That's what sinner do. Tell Brandy, I said, hey, baby, in the morning we got a free breakfast. Where are we going? I said, 30 minutes. All it's going to take us is 30 minutes. We're on vacation. We ain't got 30 minutes. I said, baby, it's fine. I done told the man. I want to hold up the man of the deal. Brother Harold, 4 hours later that morning, we still fighting with him. And the whole time I told her, I got this. So about 4 hours and 10 minutes in, that little 5-foot black-headed woman steps up and says, listen here, we ain't buying nothing. Where's $125? We're leaving. You know what he said? He said, okay, here it is. He tore the check out and handed it to her. I looked at her and I said, I've been fighting with this man for 4 hours. All you've done is blow your top, and we're leaving. That's the same thing we do with Satan. He says, just give me 30 minutes. All it needs is 30 minutes, just a little bit of time. I ain't going to keep you long. Just give me 30, and you get hooked in 30, and 4 hours in. You start scrolling on your phone, and you didn't really want to look at that stuff, and you gave it 30 minutes. Now you gave it 4 hours. Now it's got all 8 hours. Now it's consumed you. You're up all hours of the night. That little drink that you just wanted just to sip because you just wanted to taste it one more time, and you sipped it, and now you're already all the way in. That little bit that you just wanted, just a little bit. He said, 30 minutes ain't going to hurt you. What's 30 minutes? I know some women, and y'all do too, 30 minutes has cost them their life. I know some men, 30 minutes has cost them their life. All they was going to do was just run down there right quick, cost them their life. I've had some good friends, Brother Roy, just going to run right down there just have a good time for 30 minutes, cost them their life. You say, will the Lord ever give up on you? He'll never give up on you. He'll never give up on you. Every time she approaches you, every time Satan approaches you and looks good and trying to pull you in, remember this tonight, 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9. The Lord is not slack. You can't find a bit of slack in his rope, brother. Whoa, glory! You can't find a bit of slack in his rope. He ain't got none. The Lord's not slack concerning his promises. Some men, or you and I, count slackness. But he's long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish. There's not a person in hell he wanted them to go there. There's not a person burning today that he said, yeah, he didn't want them to go there. He said, preacher, how they had to step over the cross, had to trample over the blood of Jesus just to get there. That's the Bible. Had to trample all the way over the blood just to get to hell, to reject it the whole way. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But, in verse number 10, here you go. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You won't know when it comes. You say, I'll be ready for the tribulation. If I don't go in the rapture, I'll get saved that next Sunday. After all the church is gone, I'm going to come into church. No, you won't. You done set on the gospel. You can't. You done. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. He's not slack concerning his promise. And all the way till you take your last breath, for the lost man, he's there. For the saved man, he's there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's there. Tonight I want to ask you a question, this. Who have you been following? You say, preacher, this is during the tribulation period. This ain't have nothing to do with us. And I agree, if you're saved, you're not going to. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. We're going to be raptured out. What about all the people you know that's not saved? That if we quit witnessing and we just sit down and quit working and quit doing what God's called us to do, we just sit idle and we get comfortable. What about if he said, but the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Thief in the night. One thing as a pastor I hate getting is that 2 o'clock in the morning phone call. Jordan Fry, when he passed away that morning about 2 o'clock, I couldn't get Brother Tony to answer. Me and Brandy talked this the other day around my Brother Tony's house. 2 o'clock in the morning, got up, drove to Brother Tony's house, knocked on his door. Awfulest news I had to report to him, that he had left this walk of life. But can I say to you, he left ready. 20-something year old, he left ready, though. Tonight, when that time comes, will you leave ready? Comes as a thief in the night. You say, well, I got plenty of time to prepare. Old people don't die. Young people don't die. All people die. Except he raptured the church. Except he busted them eastern skies and come back. We're all going to meet death one day. He says he's going to come as a thief in the night. Don't let what you got going on right now look so pretty and get tied up in it that you not be ready. I thank God tonight he saved my soul, don't you? Thank God for that tonight. Well, if he just have his way tonight, amen. Father, I do love you and I do thank you for this night. I thank you that when old Satan wants to put his nose where it don't belong, you have a long-suffering attitude. Lord, you're not slack. And I thank you for that tonight. And Lord, I pray right now, whoever's tied up in something that looks good and it's been approaching them, that they realize that there's an abundance of sin at the end of that. Lord, we just need to get it right with you. Lord, walk with you the way you'd have us to walk. Lord, I praise you tonight and I glorify you tonight. And Lord, I thank you for this local body church, and I thank you that we're alive and we're alert and we're looking. We're not walking around with our heads in the sand, but we know that we do have an enemy, but we do have a Father that's on the throne. And God, I thank you for that tonight. And Lord, I pray you bless everybody in this room. Lord, I pray you touch them and help them. In Jesus' holy, precious name, all of God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. Love on somebody.